Diana J. Anthony of Big Rich Realty and Bolt Equities Incorporated is a hardworking broker with 23 years of experience in Ventura County from Westlake to Carpinteria. Experience isn't expensive, it's priceless. Diana started her real estate career in Hawaii and then in Malibu. Her specialties are educating buyers and sellers about the pitfalls in this ever-changing market. Additionally, she has extensive experience with short sale transactions, foreclosures, commercial, and investment property. When you hire Diana, you will be gaining a friend for life with a heart of gold and a world of knowledge. Visit her website, dianajanthony.net, or call 805-340-6135. That's 805-340-6135. California BRE 01190308.
Does Pizza Man Dan deliver beer and wine to your house?
Yes.
Beer?
Yes.
And wine?
Yes.
To your house?
Yes.
PizzaManDans.com?
Yes.
Tequila?
No, no tequila.
Cerveza!
PizzaManDans.com.
Everybody loves hot, fresh, and delicious kettle corn. One of Kim's favorites is California Kettle Corn, family owned and operated since the summer of 2007. Every golden kernel of this superior quality popping corn is American grown in the Midwest and hand popped with care in California. You can find this amazing kettle corn being freshly popped at fairs, farmers markets, local events, and at the Newberry Park Shop. Come try a truly unique kettle corn experience with high quality kernels. California Kettle Corn, hand popped and homemade. We love it and know you will too. Book your next event. Call 805-715-1500. That's 805-715-1500.
Kiwanis Club of Thousand Oaks presents the 6th Annual Brew Fest. You'll never have more fun donating to charity than at the Thousand Oaks Brew Fest. Experience over 19 craft breweries, along with local restaurants and live music by the well-known Southern California band Injun. This exciting event takes place at the Conejo Creek North Lakeside Park, a relaxing oasis behind the well-known Thousand Oaks Library, and the perfect location to enjoy your afternoon. Come join us for some amazing craft beer and meet local brewers that put their heart and soul into making the best beers in the county. We look forward to seeing you there. For more information, visit www.tobrewfest.com. That's www.tobrewfest.com.
Let's get it started in here.
Live from the studios of KVTA, Ventura County's inspiration station, this is the Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and so much more, bringing value every day in every way. Join Kim and her friends every Saturday as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. From A to Z, Kim's got you covered. And now here's Ventura County's mom and so much more. It's Kim Pagano.
Welcome back, everyone. And when I say welcome back, we've been here since 6 o'clock this morning, but we are so glad that you are starting your day in a positive way. And for those of you that have just followed all the way through, we're so glad that you are still here with us. Of course, you have tuned in to the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. And I welcome all of you here. And good morning. Happy Saturday. And of course, we're here from 6 to 8 every Saturday. We always like to start our show with something uplifting. Be so happy that when others look at you, they become happy too. It definitely is infectious. You walk in and somebody's like in a down mood, you kind of go, what's wrong? And you want to just go, okay, don't interrupt my day, you know, and hijack my day. Anyways, I do want to give out our phone number here, and because we've got lots of things that we're giving away. And our phone number here is 805-419-0008, 419-0008. We love to get back on the Kim Pagano Show, and we love to share all the events that are happening. Last weekend, we had some great events, of Camarillo, and of course the Salsa Festival. Huge fun, huge turnout for both of them. And if you have an event or business that you want to share here on the Kim Pagano Show, please give us a call at that same number, 419-0008, or email me at kim@kimpaganoshow.com. We would love to share your stuff with all of our listeners and on Facebook. Also, we want to make sure that you are following us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. Instagram and all of our places. And when you call in, ask to be signed up for our newsletter that goes out every single week. And that's a little bit more about learning about all of our amazing guests. Also, if you miss any part of our show, you can go to our website, KimPaganoShow.com, or our podcast, and that is iTunes/The Kim Pagano Show. Again, we talked about this in our first show, but we have our first guest is going to be Max Strom, and he's going to be talking about his new course. And in fact, I need to do this, Breathe to Heal. Very interesting. I'm going to find out a little bit more about that. I went to one of his seminars, and amazing, really great, interesting things that we can do. Then we have the aerobatic instructor, Judy Phelps, and she's going to be talking about Wings Over Camarillo, and we've got tickets for that. And then we've got Lisa Goich, Androidus, and she's going to be talking about a 14 days memoir. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that. Tom, do you want to talk about some of our great giveaways?
How about the Rubicon Theater Company, their presentation of On the Town, and it is running all the way through to August 12th. A great musical, you know, the classic from Hollywood, mm-hmm. Wings Over Camarillo. The air show is presented by the California Aeronautical University. That show is a blast. We'll find out more with Judy. The Kiwanis Club of Thousand Oaks presents their 6th annual Brew Fest. A whole lot of fun. What a way to give to charity. Thursday, August 24th, along with that, we have California Kettle Corn, high quality kernels, nothing like this. And Kim has some bags of that delicious popcorn. And how about the LA Zoo? Take the family to the Los Angeles Zoo.
There you go. All right. I want to start off with a pair of tickets to On the Town. And, of course, that's over at the Rubicon Theater. And like Tom said, August 4th to August 12th, we've got tickets. Call in right now at 805-419-0008, 419-0008. And all you have to do is leave us your name, your number, and your email. And one of the team members will get back with you. So let's get started on our show. Max Strom, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
How are you?
Nice to be here again.
Good, thank you. Tell everybody that might not know you and, you know, a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Certainly. My name is Max Strom, and I teach personal transformation, well-being, and yoga worldwide.
I love
and,
that.
And I'm an author of 2 books, Life Worth Breathing, and There Is No App for Happiness, and a DVD on how to learn to breathe called Appropriately Learn to Breathe.
When you say breathing, obviously to live, we have to breathe, right? But are we not breathing correctly?
Well, usually, no, we're not breathing very well because the average person now slumps quite a bit of the day in their office chair, and when you're slumping down with a rounded back, it compacts your lungs so that you breathe much more shallowly, contributing to anxiety and stress. But that's not what I'm referring to, actually. I'm referring to the fact that there's 2 types of breathing. There's the kind that we're doing right now, the kind that I'm doing as I speak. I'm not thinking about it. But then there's a transformational type of breathing where if you breathe in certain breathing patterns, that it affects you internally. It's not that different than when you lift weights. Let's say you pick up barbells and you do 20 reps. You do it 3 times, and it changes your arms over a period of time. If you do breathing patterns every day for 10 to 15 minutes, it changes how you feel inside. It releases anxiety, depression, and helps you to sleep at night.
Wow. Okay. So, and now you have a new course that you have right now. Where are you going to be at?
Yes, the Breathe to Heal course, gosh, they're all over the world right now. I don't have one locally in the L.A. area just now. But if you go to maxstrom.com, you can see my schedule for the coming year. But the Breathe to Heal course is a 4-day course of about 7 hours a day to teach people how to do these breathing exercises for themselves and also how to teach other people. My Breathe to Heal TED Talk is one of the most watched TED Talks in the world now on breathing. Just this last 6 months, it's been being watched by about 2,000 to 3,000 people.
I love that. I love that. But I love that you say breathe to heal. So yeah. By breathing better, obviously, you know, like today I said, I walked in here this morning. I'm like, oh, I'm so stressed. I could feel my body is all tight. Obviously, it's been a really horrendous couple of weeks. I've had about 4 funerals in 1 week. And but breathe to heal. So you can heal better? You can heal your body by breathing?
Not just your body, but your emotion. And that's the significant part. For example, a lot of people talk about anxiety like a communicable disease they caught at the beach or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at the roots of anxiety, there's always a cause. There's an event, let's say a trauma. And we all know that if we think about it for a moment, that it didn't just come from nowhere.
Right.
But also prolonged frustration and intense stress can be a cause of anxiety. But Kim, what I want you to know, especially from what you just told me, is, in my opinion, one of the leading causes of of anxiety is suppressed grief.
Mm.
When we suppress grief because we have to get back to work and live our life, it comes out as anxiety and sometimes as panic attacks. And if you've had that many funerals, I would imagine you have a deep well of grief coming up right now.
Yeah. And you know what? I took a couple days just to have personal days. I never do that. I mean, you know, but it these were friends and parents of friends and then one of my close friends. But I lost my mom last year, and I've been working through that, and it just all came back on me, you know? And so you have to, like, your body can't, you can't just, like, we're not robots, and we think we are, like, okay, business as usual, but it doesn't work that way, does it?
No, not at all. I had a CEO come to me for a private talk and say that he had just started having panic attacks at age 58, and could I help him? And I said, well, when did they start? And he said 6 months ago. And so I asked him, what happened 6 months ago? You know, he said, what do you mean, diverting the conversation? And I said, death, divorce, bankruptcy, what happened? And he said his brother had passed away. And I said, and you went back to work the same day, didn't you? And he said, yes. And I said, you don't have a panic attack issue. You have a grief issue.
Mm.
You allow yourself to grieve your brother, you will stop having panic attacks. But you're going to need to allow yourself to grieve. And one of the ways we can do that is, again, to do breathing patterns, which release the grief that we've been taught to suppress. We have to look at that, too, in our society. We're actually taught to suppress grief.
Wow. And now, do you see a current worldwide epidemic today happening like this our society?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the World Health Organization has predicted that by 2020, depression and anxiety will be the leading causes of disability worldwide.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a huge problem.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting because I have my radio show, but my husband's like, it happened even before your radio show. You know, people call me and ask me advice and call me when they're in trauma and who do I call and, you know, who do I use and who do I need? And I try to just help them without eternalizing it. But it's very hard, huh?
It is hard. You can get better at it, though, where you, instead of, the way I describe it to my students that I train, I say, rather than focusing on their energy coming into you, you act like a beacon and shine your light into them. So they're going to be left with a residue of your good energy rather than you with a residue of their grief or heartache or whatever.
I like that. Okay. Yeah. Somebody said, instead of being a mirror, be a window. Is that correct?
I've never heard that.
Okay. Well, yeah. So that instead of don't take on what they've given you, right? Kind of just let them, you know, I don't know. It sounded, it was like, okay, I get that, you know, but, so is there any way to alleviate the epidemic and to help reduce stress or improve sleep?
Absolutely. Number one, learn breathing patterns. Once you learn them, they're free. You can do them every day. You can do them standing up in regular clothes. You can do them in a hallway or a park, or if you're at work in an empty conference room, 10 minutes, 15 minutes a day. Or every time, you know, your colleague takes a smoking break, you leave for 6 minutes and do a breathing break, do the breathing pattern. That's number one. But number two is we have to decide how we want to live with regards to digital technology. I'm not against it. I use it every day. But it's like sugar. It's portion control, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, a little bit, it's okay, and even good. Lots of things. Like a knife, you know, is one of the most useful tools we have. Use it incorrectly, and it will cut you. We have to determine how we want to use digital technology so it doesn't kill us or harm us. And right now, it is doing both.
I totally agree. You see that so many people don't even have conversations anymore. They text each other. There's not, you know, I saw this as the elders started saying, you know, God, you guys are always on the phone. And then, you know, because we don't, or elderlies don't want to be left out, they started using the phones. And now I'm, you know, it's just, we all are a creature of habit.
Yes. But you know what? Scientists have proven some time ago that human beings communicate 90% non-verbally. 90%. So we're really wired to be in each other's presence. We determine, you know, if you meet someone for the first time, can I trust this person? Do I like this person? How intelligent are they? Are they safe? Are they funny? All that's determined by their body language, their facial expression, their tone of voice. You get none of that when you get a text or a voicemail.
That is so true. You don't even know if they could say, you know, having fun, not really. You don't know. You just don't know.
That's right.
Yeah.
And emojis aren't the same.
This is so true. I do want to remind anybody that's just waking up, starting your day in a positive way here on the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. That's what we're talking about here with Max Strom. And, of course, he's got a couple books and now a new course, Breathe to Heal. How did you get started and how did you start on this way of life, I would call it?
Well, the short answer is, I got taken to a very strong yoga class when I was 35 years old, and I was living under a lot of stress and was having trouble sleeping. And the yoga immediately took care of that. I started sleeping really well right away, and I was lucky that the teacher that I had really emphasized the breathing, because most yoga teachers don't, unfortunately. So I learned early on the benefits of breathing, and I realized it not only made me more relaxed in a good way. Now, I don't mean stupid and unfocused. I just mean clear and your muscles are relaxed. You don't feel that stiffness in your neck and so on. But besides that, once I started practicing regularly, I just found out I was happier. And I found out because people told me, they said, you know, you seem a lot happier than you used to. You seem happy all the time. And so people would notice these changes that came over me, and I felt more content with life. And it was because my body then was part of my practice. You know, so many people live a spiritual or religious life, but they still can't sleep. They still grind their teeth. They still maybe even take antidepressants or anti-anxiety drugs. Mm-hmm. If you bring your body into your spiritual life, in other words, you don't just exercise. You do a breath-centered practice. You find that then you're feeling your spirituality, your philosophy of whatever it is embodied in your, and people feel it, you feel different. And there's really no other way to do it that I found. You don't want to be, you know, the person who plays tennis every day but still has to take anxiety drugs.
Right.
You know, clearly exercise is not enough.
Wow. Max, will you stay with us? I need to take a really quick break, but I'd love to dig a little bit deeper.
Certainly.
Great. You are listening to the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life, and I'd love to give something away. And of course, I've got Wings of Camarillo Air Show coming up, and that is happening Saturday and Sunday, August 9th and 19th and 20th. We've got tickets. Call in right now at 805-419-0008, 419-0008. Leave us your name, your number, and your email, and so one of the team members will get back with you. You are listening to the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. We'll be right back.
Everybody.
Everybody loves hot, fresh, and delicious kettle corn. One of Kim's favorites is California Kettle Corn, family owned and operated since the summer of 2007. Every golden kernel of this superior quality popping corn is American grown in the Midwest and hand popped with care in California. You can find this amazing kettle corn being freshly popped at fairs, farmers markets, local events, and at the Newberry Park Shop. Come try a truly unique kettle corn experience with high quality kernels. California Kettle Corn, hand popped and homemade. We love it and know you will too. Book your next event. Call 805-715-1500. That's 805-715-1500.
Studio Channel Islands is a nonprofit organization dedicated to advancing the creative life of Old Town Camarillo and the communities within Ventura County, fostering connections between artists and visitors, and celebrating the cultural identity of our community. Ongoing programs including Artists in Residence Open Studios, Arts Education Classes, diverse Blackboard Gallery exhibitions, cultural events, festivals, poetry, comedy, and much more. Come visit Studio Channel Islands located at 2222 East Ventura Boulevard in Camarillo or call 805-383-1368. You may also visit StudioChannelIslands.org for more info about events or view collections or artists. Ventura Water is dedicated to providing our community with quality water and wastewater services 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. We've been delivering drinking water from local sources since 1923, cleaning wastewater for more than a century, and preventing stormwater pollution for the past two decades. Ventura Water, a trusted life source for generations. For more information about Ventura Water, visit us at www.venturawater.net or call 805-667-6500. That's 805-667-6500.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show.
Finally, on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. And again, thank you so much for being here. I do want to do a little shout out for Make-A-Wish. And of course, that is Repel for a Cause. And that is happening Friday and Saturday, the 4th and 5th, over in at the National University Building in Oxnard. And you can make somebody happy by going and having some fun. And also, I want to ask everybody to walk with me. And of course, that is happening, Making Strides Against Breast Cancer. Thousand Oaks is October 7th, and then Ventura is October 14th. So I'd love to see all of you out there. Call me if you want to be a part of any of that. We're talking with Max Strum right now, and of course, we're talking about one of his new courses, Breathe to Heal. Very interesting. Sometimes we are, kind of the problem within ourselves. And if we can nurse our bodies and instruct our bodies, is kind of what you're saying, Max, right? Is it's kind of like brushing our teeth. You know, if we learn to do these exercises, I love what you said. You work out and you slowly see your body change. If we can, I'm going to be right there with my listeners. If I don't put it in my book, I don't do it.
Yeah, you have to schedule it. It has to be in your priority schedule, something that you, if someone says, look, can you do this or that, you say, I'm sorry. You know, unless it's an emergency, I don't break this.
Right. Yeah. So is this an emotional healing or is it a physical healing?
It's primarily emotional, but we all know that when we feel better emotionally, our body feels better also. I mean, think about all the things that go wrong with our body because of our emotions being off kilter. Grinding your teeth at night, not sleeping well, that can be emotionally based, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or eating disorders, even where you're grieving or you're just you've given up hope, so you tend to eat too much or too little. Tension in the neck and back, where you're going to the chiropractor on a regular basis because of tension. And, of course, one of the things that a lot of people are unaware of are chronic digestive disorders are often caused by constant stress. Chronic diarrhea or constipation usually are stress-based.
Okay.
So if you heal your emotions, you're also healing your body.
I love that. Now, is there a video or another way we can learn more about Breathe to Heal?
Yes, I suggest people go for free onto YouTube and look at my Breathe to Heal video. And then if they want to learn the exercises, go to Amazon and look up Learn to Breathe by Max Strom and get the video, or you can download it right from my website, maxstrom.com.
Okay, perfect. And can you give us a couple tips? I know that I took your class when you were out here, and I know that you really have a different way of looking at life, and I think that it really helped me because there's steps that you start your day, like my show. I always say start your day in a positive way. You know, don't get hijacked into somebody else's world. Stay focused. You know, because you could be driving and somebody honks at you, cuts you off, right? And then your whole day's blown. How do you stay focused and stay on that?
Well, I'm glad you brought up driving, because that is the ideal time to do some of the breathing exercises. They're safe. They don't cause you to lose focus, the ones I'm referring to. And so instead of listening to talk radio and just getting more and more stressed out, keep the radio off and do breathing on your entire commute. And when you get to work or back home, you will feel so different than everybody else. It's unbelievable.
Wow, I love that. Again, give us your website, Max, and thank you so much for staying in touch with me. And I'm so excited. I want to take one of your courses so that I can share this with my listeners.
Thank you, Kim. Just go to maxstrom.com, maxstrom.com.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, and you have a great rest of your day, and please share our show with everyone.
Thank you so much. I look forward to seeing you again soon.
You got it. Thank you. All right. We are just going to move right on over to Judy Phelps. And of course, we're talking about Wings over Camarillo. And of course, that has happened. We were just giving away tickets. We'll throw in another pair right now. That's happening August 19th and 20th, Saturday and Sunday. And for any reason you don't win tickets here, you can go to wingsovercamarillo.com. It's going to be amazing. And Judy is here to tell us a little more about it. So Judy, welcome, and thank you so much for being here.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. Thank you. Thank you so much for being here. So tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Well, let's see. As you already said, my name's Judy Phelps, and I'm a flight instructor, and I work over here, or I actually co-own CP Aviation with my husband, Clay Phelps. And let's see, I've been flying since 1994 is when I started taking flight lessons, and it took me 5 years to complete my training. So in 1999, I got my private pilot certificate, and I was actually, when I met my husband, I was working as a waitress at the airport cafe here at Santa Paula. And I really didn't have much interest in aviation until I met him. And then I met him, and I didn't like being a passenger in the airplane, so that's why I learned to fly. And then after I learned to fly, I was like, okay, well, now what am I going to do? And I was working here at the flight school and seeing people, you know, progress and making achievements. And so that's when I decided that, you know, I wanted to do this emergency maneuver training course that we teach here and also learn basic aerobatics. And when I did that, kind of like lit a flame, I guess.
Uh-oh, you lit your fire.
That's right. And so 18 months later, I was a flight instructor. And
What did you do for work before that, Judy?
Oh, I was a waitress at the restaurant at the airport.
Okay, okay. Oh, my God. So you saw all the planes come in and out and all in and out, but never really thought of it for yourself?
That's right.
Wow, exactly right. That's amazing. Yeah. Is there ever a time that you feel like, you know, I mean, we talk about the brighter side, but we've lost some people here in the last couple months, right?
Uh-huh.
That were really avid flyers. Is there things that just, it's kind of out of our control?
Well, there are some things that are out of our control. And then there's other things that it's about safety.
Right.
And training and learning to do the right things. But it's also, I guess I would say it's just kind of like driving a car, right?
I was going to say, unfortunately, you know, when our time's up,
yeah,
right? Yeah.
You know, people have car accidents and people have airplane accidents. And, you know, if I was given the choice, if I was going to drive in L.A. on the 405 freeway or the 5 freeway or fly an airplane, I'd choose flying an airplane.
Yeah, I hear you. There's not much traffic up there, right?
That's right. But not all, I'd also like to say, not all aviation accidents end in tragedy. It's just that those are the ones that we usually hear about. It's just like car accidents. You don't always hear about, you know, the stuff that doesn't end in tragedy.
Yeah, I love it. Now, what do you consider your biggest achievement in aviation?
Well, I would say my biggest achievement is, besides learning to fly, of course, but in 2011, I was the National Flight Instructor of the Year. So that was
That's a huge honor.
And
wow. And how many women? I know that you guys have your women's club, and that is just amazing to me. How many women? There's not a lot, is there?
Well, women make up about 6% of the entire pilot population.
Wow.
Yeah, so the numbers are pretty small.
Okay. Okay. So if there is a woman that's listening, and I'm sure there's a zillion of them, okay, it's never too late to learn, correct?
That is correct.
I think that's like the biggest thing that you can take from it.
Yeah, I think, you know, when I learned to fly, well, I was in my 30s, early 30s when I learned to fly. But I remember times thinking I could never do this, or I would meet people that were learning to fly and doing things that I hadn't yet learned to do. And I was like, oh, my God, I don't know if I could ever do that, you know. And I think the one thing that learning to fly did for me is it taught me that we can do anything.
I love that. I love that. You know, we all have a purpose, and we just have to take the time to invest in ourselves.
Yeah. You have to want it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I have four children, and I tell them, you know, whatever you're doing, nothing comes easy, first of all, because I'm sure, okay. And if you get there halfway there and you give up, then guess what? More fool you, because you didn't reach your dream, and you never know what's around the corner.
That's right.
And I believe in God and let live, okay, at the same time. But I've given up that I can control anything, but I can make my best attempt to do anything I want in this life.
That is 100% correct.
I love that.
If you just sit around and wait for something to happen, it's not going to happen. You got to make it happen.
I love it. Get up there and try. And so I really want to, you know, that's just a huge message right there. And of course, if you're just tuning in with us right now, you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. And we're talking with Judy Phelps, and you made it happen for yourself. Wow.
So
that's awesome. So what are some of the highlights of participating in the air show, and what are we going to find?
Well, I think we talked a little bit about some of the highlights, but for me, finding the air show. So I'm a woman pilot. I belong to an organization. It's called the 99s, and it's the Ventura County 99s.
Right.
The actual organization that I belong to. But one of the things we
and
do
is that
the
because there's 99 women?
There were, in 1999, there were initially 99 women, yes. And Amelia Earhart was the first president of the 99s organization.
Yeah, I love that. I remember that from last year.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool thing.
Yeah.
And so back to your question, some of the highlights. So one of the things the 99s do at the air show, we do a lot of community outreach.
Mm-hmm.
We have a booth, and we cook pancakes, and, you know, we do things, which is really great. And it's some years ago, back before like 2010, 2011, in that area there, some of the pilots would ask us, and we would do flybys in the air show, which was fun. But in 2012, they asked me if I wanted to participate in the air show, and I said yes, but I want to fly aerobatics because that's what I do. I fly aerobatics, and it's another goal. You have to practice for it, and so for me, instead of, you know, doing flybys, which is fun, but to go out and to actually be able to fly aerobatics and have everybody watch, it's a really neat experience. Plus, you know, you get to participate with all these other amazing pilots too.
Right. Right. Now, at that air show, are you going to be going like upside down?
Does that
scare you at all?
No, it doesn't, because I practice.
Okay.
I train.
Okay.
So, you know, it's one of those things. It would be scary if I had never done it before.
Right.
So when I was learning to do all this stuff, I'll be honest, it was scary. But I had a flight instructor in the airplane that knew what they were doing, so I had a little bit of confidence. But so it's kind of like anything, like when you learn to ride
preparation,
a bike.
Preparation. Yeah.
So you got to prepare for it. So in the routine that I fly is something that I've choreographed it, right? So I've got it all written out, and that's what I have to fly. So it's not like I can just go up there and make up what I want to do. So I'm going to actually fly what I've been practicing.
Oh, so you actually, okay, that's interesting.
Yeah. And my routine has, a little bit of inverted flight, some rolling and looping and hammerheads and spins, just a real variety of things. And I try to showcase kind of like the basic aerobatics.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And there's also another woman performing in the air show. Her name is Vicky Benzing.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if you've done an interview with her, but
I remember, yes.
You should.
Yeah.
She's awesome.
Okay.
And I'm not sure if she's going to be flying her extra 300 or her Stearman, but either airplane, she puts on an amazing show as well.
Wow. Now, let me ask you a question. Is there anybody that you just really admire in the wings up there that, because we all have people that we kind of want to mentor. Is there anybody?
Anybody that I really look up to or that I've learned a lot from?
Yeah.
Okay. So for me, there's a few people. The first person would be my flight instructor. And unfortunately, he's no longer with us. And he died of old age.
Okay.
If he was still alive, he'd be like well into his 90s.
Wow.
But I was fortunate enough when I decided to learn to fly to have him for my flight instructor. And he worked for the FAA for several years. In fact, he was the manager at the Van Nuys, FISDO, which is the Flight Standards District Office for this area. And so, when he was teaching me to fly, he would have been in his 70s. He had just retired. But the really neat thing about having him for my flight instructor was that he had like 60 years of aviation experience.
Wow. You can't even buy that.
You can't.
I know.
And at the time I was learning, I had not a clue. I had no clue, what it was that I was getting because, I was younger and I was just like getting new to aviation. And now when I look back on it, now that I'm teaching people, a lot of times things pop into my head that he taught me. And it's like, I so get it now. I like really get what he was saying. And but he was somebody that I feel very fortunate to have as a flight instructor and somebody that I really, really looked up to.
Is there ever a time, Judy, that you have, because you teach, correct?
Uh-huh.
Okay, is there ever a time that you go, this person should not fly, or, oh my God, you're a natural? Is that part of it? Is that something?
It is, because, it's hard when somebody walks in the door. So if somebody walks in the door and they want to learn to fly,
mm-hmm.
you don't know until you've been in the airplane with them. You don't know, because there are some people. I had one guy that I taught to fly. I would talk to him. One of the things you do before you go out and fly is you always have a briefing and you talk about what you're going to do. With him, I would tell him, okay, this is what we're going to do, and we'd go out. He'd do it. Sometimes I tease him. I'm like, are you sure you haven't been taking lessons somewhere else, the side? And there's other people that have to really work much harder for it.
Right.
And so, that's where it's hard sometimes because it's hard to tell somebody what it's going to take to teach them to fly, like as far as how long or how much money it's going to take.
Wow. And now, were you a natural?
I would say no. I would say I'm kind of an in-between kind of person.
Okay.
I wouldn't say I was a natural, but it wasn't a huge struggle. One of the things for me is because it took me 5 years from the time I started learning to fly until the time I completed my private pilot.
Yep.
Is because then there's a lot of starting and stopping. It's not the most efficient way to do it.
Wow.
So even now, if I learn something new, I go work at it.
Some people
learn something new. And
so boom, let me ask you a question, Judy, is how long does it actually take to get your license, your medical checkup, all the stuff that you need to get your license?
Well, so there's a required number of hours of flying. The required number of hours is there's a minimum of 40 hours required to get your private pilot certificate.
Yeah, wow.
Very few people do it in 40 hours.
Okay.
probably a norm would be more to between like 60 and 80 hours.
Wow.
And so it depends on how often you fly. You know, a typical person, I think, like if somebody's working and they come out and they fly once or twice a week,
mm-hmm.
probably going to take them close to a year from the time they start till the time they finish.
Huh.
We've had people come and they're here, you know, for a month, but all they're doing is flying every day.
Right.
And be able to make the achievement. And as far as there's a medical, so to become a pilot, you do have to have what they call a medical, and you get a flight physical.
Right.
And that really, that's just a matter of making an appointment
okay.
with an aviation medical examiner.
So that's not a big deal.
That doesn't really take a long time unless you have, if you have some sort of medical condition, you know, let's say you have a heart problem or you're taking some sort of medication or maybe you've got migraine headaches or something like that. It doesn't preclude you. It doesn't mean that you can't get a medical, but you may have to have some additional tests and stuff, and that can take, you know, that could take a few months.
Okay, perfect.
But typically, if you're a healthy person,
it's
you
a
walk
go.
In and you walk out with there. Your medical
test. I love it. Judy, I can't wait to see you. I do want to remind everybody August 19th and 20th to come out there to Wings Over Camarillo. And if you want to find out more about what we're talking about, go to wingsovercamarillo.com. Judy Phelps, thank you so much for being a guest here on the Kim Pagano Show. Very interesting. And way to go. Way to go. I'm telling you, you're living your dream.
I am living my dream.
I love it.
Thanks for having me, and I hope to see everybody at the Camarillo Air Show.
There you go. And please share our show with everyone. All right. We're going to move right into Lisa. And Lisa, I don't want to pronounce your name wrong. I've been doing it, but is it Goich and is it Andres? And
you can just say Goich.
Goich. Lisa Goich.
Yes.
Okay, Goich. Great.
Like it's like Deutsch.
Deutsch.
It's
Goich.
How it sounds, but
okay.
with a G.
Goich. Yeah. Got it. All right. And tell us a little bit about yourself. And I know you have your book, right?
Yes.
And it's a memoir.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 14 days. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, the title is 14 days.
And it's a mother, a daughter, and
a two-week goodbye.
Okay. My assistant had told me a little bit about this, and I lost my mom last year. And so I'm sure this is going to be touching for me, but I'm excited to hear how you decided to write this book and a little bit about yourself and your situation. Welcome to the Kim Pagano Show, and thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Is this your first book?
It's my second book, actually. My first book was published in 2001, I believe, and it was called The Breakup Diary.
Remember The Breakup Diary. Okay.
It's a guided journal, for people going through breakups, mostly young womenish.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay.
I've given it to guys over the years, though.
Okay.
Guys who were particularly sad.
Yeah, wow. Okay. And so how did you decide to write this book? Is it because did you lose your mom?
I lost my mom in 2011, mm-hmm. although when... Basically, what ended up happening was I went home for just a long weekend. I live in California. My parents are in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just going home for a long weekend in December just to visit them before Christmas because I normally don't like flying at Christmas time because it's too crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So I visit them just before Christmas every year. And I was going to visit them and thinking it was a normal everyday visit, and when I got there, my mom was in the hospital.
Mm.
I didn't know that when I was flying there, but my cousin picked me up and said my mom ended up in the hospital.
Had she been in the hospital for a while or just recently?
No,
okay.
She just got in the hospital that day. Mm. She was on kidney dialysis. She had just started dialysis.
Mm-hmm.
She was, I think, on her 10th appointment at that point, so it was very new to her, but she wasn't handling it very well, and she fell at her dialysis appointment and couldn't walk. So that day, my first day home, which was just supposed to be a three-day trip home, she decided that she was going to stop her dialysis. She didn't want to do it anymore. She was just over it.
Wow.
And she was 85 at the time, and she decided that she would just stop the dialysis, which would mean that she would have about 2 weeks to live.
Mm.
So what started as a three-day vacation home ended up a two-week goodbye to my mom.
Wow. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
So you know, I don't really know what's worse because I've talked to so many people. My mom passed away instantly and we found her. And so totally different as opposed to knowing that you have 2 weeks to kind of ask her all those last questions or I don't know. Mm-hmm. But
well, I have to say, I actually address that in the book, too. I talk about, you know, what is the best way to go?
Yeah.
You know, I kind of looked at it as, wow, this is sort of a magical little window you have, you know?
Right.
You know, she had lived a full life. She was 85.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have...
You know, that's interesting. So you look at it as a full life, and I think of, like, a hundreds of full life, you know?
Right, I know.
I'm like, my mom left some, like, life on the table, you know?
I know.
And so it's interesting because my mom was going to... She would have been 83, and she didn't make it to her birthday. But I was like, she was still young. Was your mom not young?
She was very frail.
Okay. See, my mom was not frail, and my mom was full of life, and, you know, there is a difference when you have that, you know what I mean? You feel like, okay, they've used up all their life, and they're, you know, so I think there's just different, you know, I don't know.
Oh, it's always different. Well, especially with your case, in a case where it happens so suddenly.
Right.
And it was somebody who was full of life. You wouldn't expect it. That's no different than a death that occurs. You know, I have so many friends these days that just seem to die.
Well, I just had. I was just saying on our, I went to 4 funerals this week. It was so overwhelming for me. And it really took me back because I'm still trying to clean out my mom's house. I'm almost done. My listeners are probably going, still? You know,
I
have never had such a huge job in my life. And
it's
so
hard.
Emotional. You go through and you're like, oh, my God, I had no idea she was writing a book. Oh, I had no idea she was had this collection, you know. And so did you have to clean out a house or any of that?
Well, my father is still alive. He's 95.
Okay, wow.
And he's a young 95.
God bless him. That's awesome.
See?
Yeah.
So that's what you're saying. Like, my dad's very, aside from a really bad knee, he is pretty sprightly.
That's awesome.
He works
awesome.
Out. Yeah, he works out 3 days a week and is pretty sharp.
Yeah. That's great. I mean,
yeah.
It really is, you know, and that's really why I do my show, Lisa, is because we all have a chance. We just had Max on here, Max Strom, and he talked about really breathing to heal our body.
Mm-hmm.
We have so many opportunities to take care of our bodies, and I'm going to be the same one. I'm going to work out. I'm going to do this. I'm going to not stress as much. And then I wake up going, oh, I just, you know, it's like I got to go to work. I've got to, you know.
It's too hard.
I know, but somehow, I mean, that's what gives us the longevity of our life.
That's the truth. I mean, that is what gives us longevity, and that's the reason why my dad is 95 and still alive, and it's also the reason why my mom was really frail at 85.
I know. And did she not really take care of her body?
I mean, she, you know, she didn't work out ever. It's not like she exercised or even took walks.
Yeah.
She pretty much was, you know, went from walking around the house, to the kitchen, to the couch. She'd play her little slot machine game.
Mm-hmm.
She was very tiny. She wasn't obese or anything. She,
right.
In fact, when she first got sick at the end, she was only 70 pounds.
Wow.
When she died, she was probably somewhere in 50 pounds.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
So it's not like she was ever, you know, obese or heavyweight because she wasn't working out, but she just wasn't a very, you know, she didn't really do much cardiovascular exercise, but she didn't drink.
Right.
She
didn't abuse herself. She just didn't make the extra efforts.
Yeah, the
yeah,
extra
my
effort.
Mom didn't either. And that, you know, I do think that where, thank God, my dad, too, works out all the time. You know, he's 85. And
Yeah.
So, you know, we need to invest in ourselves. And I think that's such a huge, you know, part of what we need to do for our lives. We do so many things for everybody else. We take care of our cars, our homes, we vacuum. We, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, why are we not on that list?
That's true. I know. We never make ourselves on that list. And we can always find other things to do that are quote, more important than taking that walk or, you know, going for a swim or
parking,
you know,
a little further away so you can walk to your neck, you know, all those things. Now, when you were going through this, did you already know you were going to be writing a book?
No, I didn't.
So,
however,
okay.
I was posting a lot of her updates on Facebook.
Okay.
Every day for family and friends. And, you know, I'm a writer by, you know, by schooling him. I was a journalism major. So I wouldn't just write, you know, oh, she's okay today. I would kind of make them a little more, you know, flowery and beautiful. I was trying to make, you know, make all of the things I wrote nice. And they were mostly for the people who were out of town, friends and family, people who, you know, wanted updates every day. Mm-hmm. So I was just posting merely for that. And then somebody said, you should turn this into a book. And I was like, eh, I don't know about that. So about a year later, I just sat down and worked with chapter one, which was day one. My book is split into days instead of chapters. So every day is a chapter.
Wow.
And so I thought, let me just try to write the first day and see what happens. You know, let me just kind of work my way through this. And it was cathartic, too, which I think is a good thing for anybody to do, whether you're a writer or not. I think that it's really great to journal your way through these things. And I wish I had done it while I was there. Like, I wish I had written more while I was there. Number one, it would have made the book a lot better. And number two, or easier to write, I should say.
Right.
And number two, it would have just been better for the heart and soul and everything while going through it.
Yeah, yeah. So what is your advice for someone who's going through the loss of a loved one?
Well, if you, again, like, if you have a window as I did, you know, I can only speak from what I know in this case.
Have you lost anybody else in your life?
Oh, yeah. Oh, geez. At this point, like you, I mean, the past few years had been terrible.
Mm-hmm.
I had lost a lot of friends up to that point. But like I said, both of my parents were alive. My siblings are alive, knock wood.
Right.
And I'd lost an uncle, my mom's brother, a couple of years before my mom died, which was really sad.
Mm-hmm.
And but lots of friends, you know, quite recently. And
see, I was married before and lost a baby. And she lived to be 11 months old. So that was, you know, that was really difficult. But, you know, I don't know. And even then, I wonder how you just keep going on, you know.
Well, that's a tough one, you know, and that's really hard for people. And I think, you know, you have to look at life. Here's the deal. We're all going to end up there.
You know what's weird? I guess I never really thought about that, even with my mom. My mom was, like, so feisty and such a fighter. And I never really thought about losing her. And I was like, oh, my God, am I, like, living in the clouds, you know? People were losing their parents. And I'd be like, Mom, I can't believe they left. And she's like, my mom told me, she's like, I don't have a lot of life left. And I'm like, oh, my God, Mom, stop that, you know?
Right.
And
but people know when you get to that age, that's what my dad talks about all the time, you know? And
yeah.
I mean, we are all going to die. That's the way that
none of us are getting out of here alive. Okay,
yeah,
so
right.
That's really why I used to say to my mom, you know what, don't leave any life on the table. Get out. Every day's a gift. You know, it's a clean slate. You can start to do anything you want. And that's what she taught me. So here I am doing a radio show, you know. I mean, anybody can do anything we want. We just talked to Judy Phelps, and she learned to fly a plane, you know, and her elderly, you know, her older age. That's what it's all about.
It is.
So,
well, that's what death should teach us. And,
yeah.
And that's what I learned from death is that, and especially, like I said, the loss of friends who were younger and you don't expect them to die so young.
Yeah.
I've learned a lot about, you know what, start this business, write another book. Do all the things you want to do now because nobody's guaranteed
to be here forever.
We're living longer than we ever lived before,
right?
For better or for worse. But
this is true.
But,
what are your future plans with this project or your next book?
Well, I have a couple of ideas for a next book. I was going to write a book about my dad to sort of pick up where this book left off, but not about my dad's death, but about having a relationship with a parent who you really didn't have a relationship with before. I mean, they were married.
Well, so you were closer with your mom.
Oh, I was.
And then now you have one parent left, and it's a whole whole different ball game, isn't it? And
it's
I was really close with my dad. I was like a daddy's girl, but at the same time, I was so close with my mom. And you know what's really interesting? I thought I was helping her, but in reality, I think she was really helping me.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
So life is really crazy. Lisa, I thank you so much for being a guest here. Where do we find out more about you and how do we get your book?
Okay, the book is available wherever books are sold. It's just look for 14 Days by Lisa Goich. It's on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And the website is 14daysamemoir.com. And I also have a website where everything is listed that I'm working on, which is agirlonthego.com.
A girl on the go. I love that. Mm-hmm. I love it. I'm going to like use that line. A girl on the go. I feel like I'm always on the go.
I know. A girl
now,
on the go.
Did you work with hospice?
Yes. I was, it's a weird thing, but right before my mom died, my dog was certified as a certified therapy dog.
I love that.
To work with hospice patients. And
did you bring your dog there?
We had just started doing our work, and then this thing happened with my mom, and my dog just happened to be with me during that time. So the weird thing was that I was the patient, basically, for my dog, you know, because the hospice dogs work not just for the people who are dying, but also for the family members who are there at the bedside.
Aren't animals amazing?
Mm-hmm.
They're
amazing.
Yeah. They are
my dog
amazing.
She was right there on my mom's lap when my mom took her last breath. And she was there for me through the entire process. So it's an amazing thing to have. And it's available. You know, there's a lot of organizations. Therapy Dogs International is the company that I
Actually, my mom had two dogs and I adopted them. They were there when she passed away, and that was my mom's life. And I have to tell you, oh my God, they're like my saviors. They come and hug me. You know what I mean? I just think they're so grateful for being in my life. So I am so happy to talk with you. Thanks again. And please share our show with everyone.
I'm definitely going to do that.
All right.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Thank you for having me on.
Perfect. All right. We are at the end of our show. And, of course, I end all of my shows with a moment of happiness. Stick with the people who pull the magic out of you and not the madness. And I do want to say, give us a call. We've got lots more things to do. 805-419-0008. 419-0008. And, of course, you've been listening to The Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. And we'll talk to you next week.